songs are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Please join us at Abundant Life Ministries Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. for a one-hour wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ as we worship together and light the Christmas candles. Merry Christmas and have a wonderful and blessed New Year. Join us now as we go to a service in progress recorded on December the 4th entitled, You Are Not in the Dark.
Isaiah chapter 9, it's not a forgotten passage to us, but it's a passage we should remember. Nevertheless, 9 verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. If you look into chapter 8 of Isaiah, I like these words in verse 11. It addresses the conditions of the land as Isaiah is giving the prophetic word of the Lord about the Assyrians that's coming and all that's going to happen and the darkness that's within the land. And then there are these words in verse 11 of chapter 8 of Isaiah. We're going to come back to chapter 9. But the Lord has said to me in the strongest terms, do not think like everybody else. Do not think like everyone else does. About the darkness. About what's coming. About what you see. Why? Because we have a different perspective through Christ. Do not think like everyone else. Do not be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. Do not have fear. Do not be concerned about the strategies and the plans and the workings of the darkness. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear Him, you will need fear nothing else. For He will keep you safe. Yes, nevertheless, chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will soon be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, hello, that's me too, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled. Israel, the day is coming when you will be filled with the glory. All hell can't stop it. Satan can't hold it back. God's schedule cannot be broken. God has spoken, it will be fulfilled. Yes, the glory will be seen. It will be revealed. The people, here it is, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. I was looking at the different scriptures that talk about the people in darkness. Some references talk about the people who sat, S-A-T, in darkness. Here it talks about walking in darkness, a lifestyle that is fully surrounded with and permeated with darkness. I was thinking about that condition of darkness, what it's like, and the only word I can give to it is hopelessness. Hopelessness. Yes, there is a psalm that we quote. It starts like this: blessed is the man. You know it? Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not the counsel of the ungodly. First is walking, right? Blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So we have walking. Blessed is the man who is not walking in the darkness. Blessed is the man who doesn't stop and stand and communicate about the darkness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the darkness. One thing when you're walking by, you can't stop the birds flying overhead. It's one thing to be on a fallen planet where there's darkness. It's one thing to walk with people who are in darkness, but you can do that without becoming dark like they are, or entertaining the darkness, or encouraging the darkness, or ignoring the darkness. Church needs to do something about the darkness. Why have we become silent about the darkness? Yes, why are preachers saying, I can't say those things? Well, what are you going to say? If the light is not going to be given to the darkness, then what are we going to give to those in darkness? Are we going to argue? Are we going to excuse? Are we going to manipulate our thoughts and our behavior and make excuses? Or are we going to stand and meditate upon it? Or are we going to say simply, I'm not going to walk with, I'm not going to sit with, I'm not going to stand with the darkness because I am not in the dark? 1 Thessalonians, you are not in the dark. The light has taken over, taken possession. You are now a representative of the light. People who sat in darkness, people who walked in darkness, will see a great light. Lord, may that be your church. May it be, put your name in there. The people who walk in darkness, may they see a great light. May your life be a great light. The light has come. May your life, my life, be a great light. Yes, Jesus was coming. A light will shine on all who live in the land where death cast its shadow. Death. See, the light and life are together. The darkness and death are together. So Jesus, the light, I'm the light of the world. Jesus, who is the light, He comes. I am also the life giver, giving abundant life, light and life. And as I thought about upon this, I thought, but God did something amazing for us. He didn't just come as the light and come as life, but He left it here. He left it here. He didn't take it back to heaven with Him. Oh, it's there too. But He left it here, Dylan, for us, so that we too could experience the light and the life, and we could be light givers and life givers. And thus, when we come together on Christmas Eve, we'll have a candle lighting and music and word celebration that evening as we light the candles, indicating that every one of us are a part of that brilliant light that must be seen. Yes. People who walk in darkness will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who live in the land where death casts its shadow. Israel. Sunshine, let me say, when you shared at your husband's celebration of life, and your neighbor's room was pretty full, I saw the light. You heard that song? I saw the light. I saw the light. And let me tell you, every one of your neighbors and everyone who was there could not help but see the light. Because the life of Christ is in you. And the light came out. And it's not the same. Those who are in darkness, they can tell the difference. They know the difference. It's not something you can act as a performer and make happen, because it comes up out of inside of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and out they come. Yes. Israel will again be great. Its people will rejoice. Amen. Amen. Yes, Isaiah 42 is another passage that speaks of this coming light. Isaiah 42, verse 7. You will open the eyes of the blind. If you read the earlier verse there, I, the Lord, have called you, this is verse 6, to demonstrate my righteousness, I will guard and support you, for I have given you to my people as a personal confirmation of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide all nations to me. You will open the eyes of the blind and free the captives from prison. You will release those who sit in dungeons, prisons. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. I will not share my praise with carved idols. Everything I prophesied has come true, and now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. Yes. So we are not surprised in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus picks up the scroll. You remember that day? Jesus picks up the scroll and begins to read. The Spirit of the Lord, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from their oppressors, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Matthew 25, there's a picture of the church. Matthew 25. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids. Remember that story? Who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Remember my question, is there anything more important than being prepared and doing everything we can to prepare others for the coming of Christ as we come into this new year? 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. What team you want to be on? Let's be on the wise team. Let's let the devil say, oh, they're part of the wise guys. They're all prepared. They're not ignorant. They're not asleep. The 5 who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough. Take along extra oil. Any of you open for extra oil? Extra oil. Extra, extra, extra. Father, fill us with extra oil. An extra abundance, God. Well, you know, I pray that I just make it in. I'm not praying to just make it in. I'm praying to march in, jumping, running, shouting, hallelujah. I have no interest in crawling and moaning and groaning my way into heaven. I want to come in full armor, full battle gear, with extra anointing, extra faith, extra word, extra power, above and beyond, always more than I need, always ready to give, always ready to pray, always ready to minister, always ready to go or come. Hello? Extra. Now when I say extra this next year, I want you to know what I'm talking about. Extra. There's no way I'm going to be one of the stupid, dumb virgins that's hanging out saying, oh, service was too long. I just don't have the seat for this. I just don't have the temperament to put up with it. Pastor's too loud. He's too excited. He just is everywhere. Yes, because I am full of the extra. Let me tell you something. It's not a double portion. It's not what Elisha got. I was reading that one day saying, God, I want a double portion. He says, no, you don't. God, I want a double portion. No, you don't. God, I want, but I want a double. I like what Elijah did. I want a double portion. He says, no, you don't. You want the full portion of the Holy Spirit. The whole portion of the Holy Spirit, Elijah and Elisha could never even begin to imagine what we have in Christ. Extra. The 5 who were foolish took no oil. The other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was when the bridegroom was delayed. Remember 400 years of darkness from the old to the new? 2,000 years. Many will become drowsy. Bridegroom was delayed. They all laid down and slept. Oh, I trust Jesus doesn't come while I'm taking a nap. I do take naps, don't I, honey? But Jesus took a nap. He slept in the boat, remember? At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming." This is what our message is. Say, what is my message for the coming year, for the Christmas season? Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him. And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps, and the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." Others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us to give to you. Go to a shop, buy some for yourself." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Bridegroom came. You aren't in the dark. Can you say amen? You're not in the dark. My wife and I, ushers, pass the communion elements. We're going to break bread. My wife and I took our youth some years ago on a 3-day canoe trip down the Suwannee River. It was rainy. It was beautiful. There were a lot of red bugs. Anybody know what a red bug is? You don't know what a red bug is, you're really missing out. Red in the wrong way. Chiggers? Know what a chigger is? Red bugs. Those oak trees with hanging moss were full of red bugs. Some of the kids didn't bring along toilet paper. It was not a good choice to use the moss. Only the native Floridians will understand this story. My wife and I, we were supposed to be the caboose. Now, we don't even see cabooses anymore, right? But, you know, the caboose is at the tail of everything. Come on up here, honey. So we were together. Just come stand right here. Keep me. So, honey, we were in our canoe, and then we were our responsible. Well, we were in charge, really, of every kid being safely brought home. And so we were to make sure that there were no canoes behind us. But at some point, one canoe got a little behind. "Oh, we're coming, we're coming, we're going to be all right." And then we went around a little bend after this was like the last day. We can't even see anybody in front of us because we've been slowed down so much by these two girls. Yeah. So if any of the rotors are listening, I'm talking about one of you. So these two girls, they're no longer behind us. We're like, well, where are they? And now instead of going slowly forward, now we're going rapidly backward looking for these two girls. And we found them. And what did they say?
"We just can't go on any further." They were much younger than we were.
"We're going to just die. We can't pick up the paddle one more time. Just leave us here. We're going to die right here in the Suwannee River." So Robin has all the compassion. Okay, see you later. These two teenage girls had totally given up.
They pulled their canoe
on the beach. They beached. That was it. We're going to die right here. Go ahead. Go on with everybody else. Tell them they just died back there, you know. There we go. You know what? That's what exhaustion. That's what tarrying a long time can do to you. That's what the wear and tear of the elements in life can do to you. It can cause you to feel as though you just can't take another step. That's why we need the extra. Extra. And so my wife, as always, filled with wisdom, she organized it. Get yourself up. You're not going to die here. I'm getting in your canoe, and Jonathan's getting in your canoe, and we're going to bring you back safely. And they did nothing, right?
They did nothing.
They did nothing.
We canoed them all the way back.
We brought them all the way back. And you know what? I believe the church today needs to be looking for the strays. We need to be maybe going back around the bin just a moment to see who did we lose. You're not going to die here. We're not going to leave you here. This isn't the end. I'm going to come alongside of you. I'm going to link arms with you. Give me your paddle. I'll take your paddle. If all you can do is sit on the premises, then come on. And if we have to pour the extra in, we'll do that too if you'll receive it. Because I don't believe anything is more important now than getting ready for the second arrival. Not on the ground, in the air. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the air. And then we shall forever be with the Lord.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in Him.